All right, here I am, sitting in the back of the taxi once again, because I'm too lazy to buy a car and drive myself. You know, the only reason I would use a car here is if I wanted to take off and go somewhere, so it's not exactly a great investment for us, especially when most of the time we can travel around pretty inexpensively. But we do plan, there's a chance that we'll get I want to get a truck, because it makes it easier to lug stuff around without anybody else's assistance. You know, that's the thing, is to be self-sufficient, where you don't need other people as often. And but, you know, of course, my wife wants a nice family car, some kind of a four-door sedan, and I'm trying to nix that. But I'm still not sure that we want to buy one, because I need to find out what's going on in the United States, maybe a few months. So I figure about 6 months we'll know, what we're going to do. Whether we plan on buying a car or buying a piece of land here or in the United States or whatever. I just like the whole idea that we are a little bit more safe. We have some more recourse in America than we do here in Thailand. At least I like to think so. And as a foreigner, that's important, because if you know anything about here, you know that in most cases, you're not going to win. I mean, it just depends on the situation, of course, but quite often the Thai will win, you will lose. And that's just kind of how it goes. Now, that's not to say that it's always that way, but it is that way sometimes. And the thing is that, like I've said many times before, if you're here, I don't care what anybody tells you, you're never going to be one of them. You're always an outsider. And, you know, now, I don't know, lately, like I said, I think in the last podcast, I've been feeling a little down lately, a little bit, I've suffered a letdown from coming back from Nepal and getting my book completed, which, you want to buy my book, go to Amazon, type in They Call Me Farang. It's a red and yellow book, comes in printed format and also Kindle format. It helps me. And you get something for that help, which I much prefer to, you know, asking for donations or whatever. You know, I really appreciate that. I mean, you know, as opposed to sponsorship, I like the idea of the book generating income for me, which is always important. And I've got several books planned. I've been saying this, but the one I really want to do is a photo book, because I feel that one can leave a legacy for me as a photographer, if not only on a small scale, which is fine with me. I mean, so will the written word, but I don't know. I mean, I just, I don't know. I mean, I'd like to see if I can get a publisher to help me with it, but, you know, nowadays it's almost, if you get a publisher, in many cases you make less. If you're not a huge name, and I'm not, let's face that right away. Let's get real. Then you don't make quite as much as if you self-publish. But then you've got to do a lot more work when you self-publish, and you're not viewed in the same light as if you have a publisher. That's starting to change a little bit, because people are starting to know the economics behind it. But, you know, frankly, all I care about, I don't care about being famous. I never have cared about that. Really, all I care is that people appreciate at least some of what I write, that they find it entertaining. Maybe it takes them away for 15 minutes, an hour, or whatever of their day, and that I have some ability. I don't have to be Hemingway. I don't have to be the best. But I like to be good enough. That's, you know, and if I can be the best in some ways, well, then that's fantastic. But, you know, let's face it, not everybody can be a Hemingway or a James Joyce or Michener or whoever, Bukowski in my case. I really like Charles Bukowski, in case you haven't heard that before. But, you know, one thing has become clear to me lately. I've been so busy lately that I haven't had time to really stop and just relax. I mean, I want to relax. I don't have a whole lot of time every day to relax. And for me, that's the whole reason I moved to Thailand, because I don't want a stress-filled life. I don't want that sort of a lifestyle. I want a mellow, laid-back lifestyle where I wake up when I want, I do what I need to do to make sure I have enough to pay the bills, and hopefully that means working like part-time in some fashion, which is keeping track of my money or keeping track of books or whatever it might be, my videos, podcasts. You know, that's why I came here. Now, I have to say that during this time when I've kind of felt a letdown, and, you know, I feel a letdown, but there's a chance that in the next 2 weeks I'll be going to Vietnam, be going to Cambodia again. I really need to go to Vietnam probably another 3 times in order to get a book of Asian photography done, if I want to include Vietnam. And if I'm going to call it Asia, a book on Asia, or Asian photography or whatever, then I really need to include Vietnam, or Southeast Asia. I don't know. I don't know if that's how I want to go. And then I've been thinking about taking a train from Chiang Mai and then making about 10 stops. So it wouldn't be all that expensive, which is great. And then basically I would just take a day or two. I could set it up to where maybe I go in, I arrive in the morning, I get myself a hotel room, and I catch the train the next night to go to the next destination. And then in that day and a half, 2 days, I go and take photos of the cities. And that should give me, if I just do that one trip, that should give me enough photos in Thailand. I figure I need approximately 100 really good photos. But I don't know, but I just want to do it on Thailand. So, you know, I got some things to think about. And that's kind of, that's, you know, I'm not like depressed, but I've suffered this letdown. And the idea of taking a train and making this trip over the course of a couple of weeks has me a little bit excited. And then in the end of April, I need to find out the exact dates, the wife and I and our 2 sons should be taking a trip to the United States. And that's huge. That's huge for us. That's a big trip. And maybe we'll be there 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. I really don't know yet. It's too soon to say. And there's a lot of stuff going on. But anyway, you know, I've suffered this letdown. And during the course of the time when I've been thinking about this and how I feel about life, how I feel from the time that I came here at age, 33 until now, I'm 53, how have things changed? How has life changed? And what's the difference between me and some guy who is living in Pattaya or Chiang Mai and he swears it's the greatest place on earth? I don't see a whole lot of guys who have been here for 20 or 30 years who have the same enthusiasm that they did when they were, say, well, when they first arrived. Even the guys who have been here for, say, 40 years, and they know everything about the country, and they speak the language just exactly like a local. They know all the dishes, the food dishes. They know everything about the country. You know, they're just like a native. When I see people like this, they're kind of in the middle. They're not real enthusiastic. but they enjoy the place. When they're not real down on the place, but they know that there are some negatives here. And I think that's kind of where I am right now. Because if you come here in the first couple of years, generally it's you need to acclimate yourself. Hopefully everybody can hear me. I'm on this I don't know if it's an overpass, but I'm on my way to get my Fuji camera cleaned in Pahayontin Road, and it's a bit of a hike, so I'm taking a taxi. And this particular road that I'm on, there's not all that many cars, but it's just very noisy for some reason. So anyway, it's the overpass on Romkamhaeng Road. Where was I? I think I'm at the place now in my life here in Thailand where it's just home. And I feel fairly, I don't know, I feel kind of like the same way as I felt in the United States. I mean, I lived in the United States for 33 years. And I've lived here, I'm going on my 21st year. So I've lived in Thailand almost, two-fifths of my life. So almost half of my life I've lived here. There's a point that people get to where they start to realize that there is a lot of good here, but there are also things that can drive you crazy if you let them. And fortunately, I have the kind of attitude which is the fuck it attitude, or the mipe and rye, or I don't care, I don't give a shit, however you want to put it. Although mipe and rye doesn't really translate to that in the literal sense, but I kind of have that attitude. If something's not, the other day, when was it? 2 days ago or so, I took a motorbike to the mall. I took it to Tesco Lotus because I was going to buy the tickets. I was going to pick up the tickets for Star Wars, which, by the way, if you haven't seen it yet, it's worth going to see. It was kind of odd seeing all the old characters again. And Princess Leia, I gotta say, Carrie Fisher is... Boy, when she was young, she was a little Snow White, and she doesn't look like Snow White anymore. But, this is what happens when you get old. So, you gotta cut her a little bit of slack. But she looks old. And Harrison Ford, he looks the same to me. But, he looks a little bit older. Anyway, I was going to get the tickets. I paid for them online, which I didn't have to do, because the movie theater was only about, I'd say it was about 40% full. That's it, even less, maybe 30%. So I didn't need to buy the tickets ahead of time, but I just wanted to make sure for my kids. I got them, so then I went and picked up the tickets the day before we were going to go. And the driver dropped me off outside, and I handed him 20 baht. It's a 15 baht ride. And I stood there for a second, and he's fishing around for his 5 baht. Now, I've ridden with this guy many times. He's taken me all over Bangkok. He's reaching around for his 5 baht. I just thought, dude, it's okay. Just keep the 5 baht, It's not a big deal. Now, that's a 25% tip. It's not much, though, obviously. But I didn't have to do that. But you know what? At the end of the day, if an extra 10 baht or 5 baht makes some guy's day and makes him happy and keeps him from starting shit with me, then it's well worth it. And that's kind of where I'm at right now. I don't give a shit. As long as something is not going to hurt me financially or physically or hurt my family, I really just don't care about anything enough to have a problem with it. Now, I do, at least on the air, have problems with dummies who write me with stupid questions. You know, and if you listen to the yesterday's podcast that's online on my website, then you know that this, I don't know if he's Middle Eastern or not, but I'm assuming he is. He's from Bahrain. He was with a Thai girl. And, of course, she, you know, probably flirted with him. He thought he was, you know, Mr. Loverboy, looking at this girl. And he ended up being with her, slept with her, and then he knocked her up in a relatively short period of time. Now, I got to say that when I worked in Alaska, well, let me just preface this with what happened. When I went home, because I was running out of money, I basically didn't have a pot to piss in. I needed to go back to the United States to make money. This is after, I don't know, it was about a year and a half or so living in Thailand. I chose to go to Seattle because of the transportation system and because of the job market and how it seemed like, for me, the job market was quite good. And it was. I mean, you know, I went back, and this is almost 20 years ago, I went back and I got a job cutting paper in a large print shop, which I had done before. I'd worked in many print shops, and I owned a brokering company. And, you know, they said, hey, you want to be a paper cutter? It's part-time, or it's temporary. It's only for a month. Do you want to, I think it was 2 weeks, actually. Do you want to do a job? I said, yeah, sure. Okay, I'll do it. I needed the money. $15 an hour, plus overtime. So, you know, hey, if you're making $22.50 an hour in overtime, and you're working, say, 5 or 10 hours a week in overtime, plus you're making the you know, I mean, I was pulling in the $700-$800 a week, and I was like, okay, you know, I had a little cushion again because I wasn't spending very much. I was taking a bus to go to work. I was eating cheap food, you know, I mean, relatively cheap food by local standards there. And at the time, I was staying in, I stayed in a youth hostel for a little while, and then I rented a room from somebody, and I think it was like $200 a month or something. And so, you know, I was okay. And then at the end of that 2 weeks, I decided to try to get the job working on a fishing boat. And I got that job. Now, one night I went out and I said, you know, I got to get out of here. I just got to go walk. And so I started walking. I don't even remember where I was at, what city I was living in, but I just remember Seattle. And could have been Bellevue, or I don't really remember. Anyway, I start walking. I see this casino. I decide to go in. Now, there is almost nobody in the casino. And there were two women sitting at the bar. And they were both fat. And now, you know, imagine, I'm coming from Thailand where I've been banging my brains out. And I, you know, when it came to the women in Thailand, they tended to be small, petite, you know, 90 pounds, 100 pounds, 110 pounds maybe, very cute, long hair. You know, I would say that most of the time my taste was pretty good, depending on how much I'd been drinking, which is fairly normal for men. The more they drink, the more impaired their judgment becomes. And so anyway, I'm sitting there, and one of the girls walks over and says, hey, you want to buy me a drink? And now, you know, this is, I just came from Thailand, and this pig is coming over to me. Basically, hey, baby, why don't you buy me a drink, you know? I don't think she had any intention of giving up the pussy either. I think it was just a matter of, I want a free drink. So I'm like, nah, that's all right. What do you mean? You don't want to buy me a drink? You're all alone here. You don't want any company? No, not really, because I didn't want her sitting next to me. And she got all in a huffy. She threw a little tissy fit for a couple of seconds. Ugh, what are you, gay? And I was like, no, I'm not gay. I just don't want to buy you a drink. The fuck don't you understand, you cunt? You know, so that was something that enlightened me. At that moment, I thought to myself, oh my God. You know, I come back here and this is what I'm getting. So, okay, now fast forward to my job in Alaska. We were docked for some reason. I don't remember what it was, but we were docked in King Cove. King Cove is a small community of... it's a processing little town. It's a town where everybody works in the processing plants. And there are people from all over, mostly Americans. But there are also Filipinos, and in this case, there were some Thais working there. Who knows why or how they got there? I didn't really get into that, but there was only about 10 women, and there was probably, a couple of hundred men. And one night I went out, I had talked to the Thai girls just a little bit. They weren't all that attractive to me. I thought they were kind of ugly, and I wasn't at the point where I was dying to stick my dick in anything. But I figured, hey, it's not going to be long. I'll be back in Thailand. These girls had their pick because all the guys wanted them. All the Filipino guys wanted the Filipino girls and the Thai girls, and all the Americans wanted them, and everybody wanted them. And they weren't all that attractive. And I just went out one night, and they're dancing out in this little club. There's like one club in the whole place. They're dancing out on the floor. It's the center of the place. And all these guys are just hanging on them, treating them like they're the most beautiful thing on the planet. And I just thought to myself, please, don't ever let that be me. I never want to be that desperate. And I never have been, but there have been times when I was like, man, am I ever going to get laid? I mean, you know, I went a whole year when I was, I don't remember how old I was, but it was like I broke up with a girl. And then on my birthday, I said, you know what, I'm just not going to be with anybody. I need some time to myself. And I went a whole year. And then this other girl that I had kind of been going out with made it a point to sleep with me on my birthday. That was my birthday present, which was, you know, it was all right. I needed it after a whole year. But, you know, my point is that, you know, you can come here and you can bang your brains out and bang your brains out and bang your brains out. And for some guys, that's all they need. All they care about is just they got some chick to stick their dick in once in a while, and that's okay with them. They're okay with that. You know, that's nice. It's nice to just have no strings sex. I mean, you know, that's fantastic. It's just wonderful sometimes. You know, you just, there's a girl, she looks great. You're like, hey, I'm horny, let's do it. Okay, great. But then, you know, there comes a time when, you know, you want somebody there that, you know, you can be friends with, or you know, and in the case of, like, being married, for me, there are times when I'm tired. There are times when my wife is tired. One of us comes home, and we just, you know, you need a hug, or you need sex, or whatever. And that's always nice, because somebody's there for you, you know. And you can't always count on the people that you're just having a one-night stand with. You know, I mean, you can't expect that. So when you come to Thailand for at least the first 3 years, you're still getting acclimated. And for me, getting laid was important. I mean, I you know, just like anybody else who lives here, any other male who lives here, for the most part, it's pretty important. Especially when you know that you can get it whenever you want it. But after, say, about 4 or 5 years, I started thinking, I'm bored, man. You know, I mean, it's like, okay, so I'm going to crack another nut. Okay, great. And then what? You know, still, I'm alone. I'm with my buddies. There's nothing else. I mean, it's not like I'm having a huge amount of fun. The most fun that I had when I was here, pretty much, was when I was out partying and when I was banging everything that moved. So that brings me to the next phase, which is after the first, say, 3 to 5 years, you need to have something that you can do. You need to have a couple of hobbies. You need to have things you like to do. You need to be comfortable being alone or spending time alone. Or for me, I like to read. I like to watch movies. I like to travel. So I am pretty much handled. And I like to spend time with my kids. Sometimes I try to teach them something new, or I just hang out with them and tease them about girls, or I talk to them about what's going on, whatever it might be. But you need, in after that 3 to 5 years, or 2 to 5 years, whatever, you're going to need something to occupy your time if you're not working all the time. Now, I've got a couple buddies, and they still work. They're working, you know, full-time jobs. And they don't have a whole lot of time. And basically, they work full time. They come home. They have dinner. Chill out for a little while. Maybe once in a while go out for a drink or go somewhere. Maybe on the weekends, they go and see a girl or two. Get laid. Whatever. Maybe the girl comes to them during the middle of the week or whatever it might be. And that's all they do. So their job takes up a large portion of their time. And so I guess my point is that if you're moving here, and if you're only here for a short period of time, you probably don't have to worry about this. And also, you probably don't have to worry as much about your budget, because you can live in a shack or a shithole or a guest house for... You can live in it. Most people can live in it. They can stand it for a year or two. Or a few months. For me, I couldn't live in a guest house, or let's put it this way: I wouldn't want to live in a guest house or like a small studio apartment for the next 20 years. I just would not like to do it. I'm too claustrophobic. So, I would like to. I don't even really want to have an apartment anymore, because I like the space that and the freedom that having a house or a townhouse gives you. You have a little bit of space between yourself and your neighbors, and I like that. I wish I had a lot more space, and hopefully in the future that'll happen, and I'll have a big piece of land with a huge amount of land around my house, and people aren't going to just be, I won't be able to hear noise, people coming and going, which I hear now. And by the way, speaking of noise, you know, I've been trying to figure out how to go about making my book into an audiobook. And the problem is not so much that I can't get it done. It's the problem is that to read it yourself, like if I read my book, which most people have said they want, then what that means is that I've got to take the time to do it, first of all. And I've also, most importantly, I need to have a place that's soundproof or almost soundproof. So I read the first chapter yesterday. I got that done. And I think it sounds pretty good. I'm trying to figure out if the specifications that I set everything to, which hopefully I did it right, but I'm trying to figure out if it is right and then if I should proceed, because I don't want to do the whole book and then find out everything's off. So I'm going to have to talk to Audible and see if maybe they'll check what I did and see if it's okay, and if it is, then I'll be able to proceed. But the thing is that there's noise all the time, so you got to be very careful. And I had planned to go in my son's closet, but instead what I did was last night, Everybody was asleep. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning. There was no noise. And I just started, I printed out the chapter, and I just started reading. And I turned off the fan, turned off the air conditioner, and there was really no noise. And I read the first chapter. And I think it turned out good, but I'm hoping that I'll be able to get that verified and just to double check. But I don't know yet. So this is something that I'm working on. It's one of many things I'm working on. This is something else that takes my time up. I mean, my time is so valuable to me because I just don't have enough of it. And for people who are type A or who are always busy, then they know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. But for people who don't know, well, you know, it's something like this. From the moment I wake up in the morning until the moment I go to sleep, I'm doing something. I'm working. I'm making a video. Like right now, I'm making a podcast. I'm sitting in a taxi making a podcast. I'm going to the Fuji dealer. I'm hoping that they'll get the lens, the two lenses and the camera body cleaned, and I'll be able to get it back in an hour. I'll go and get something to eat because I'm getting hungry. And once I'm done with that, I need to go to the mall, Bankipi. My wife brought home some chocolate for Nicholas. And guess what? I saw the chocolate. It was, real nice chocolate. I don't remember the brand of it, but it was good chocolate. And I dipped into some of it. She woke up in the morning, went in and saw that the chocolate had been tampered with, promptly got pissed off at me, and told me to buy my kid another chocolate because that was his. So, I understand. She got it for him, fine. People eat my stuff all the time at my house. No one ever, this is the thing. The older I get, the more I see that, people just do what they want to do. And it's in my house. It's every other place. I tell people, don't send me a frickin' War and Peace type of letter. I don't need a full page. I don't need to know your life story, okay? And if you're going to do something like that, I don't need a 5-page or a 7-page email, which I have gotten before, which I've received. I don't need that. I don't want it. I don't want to spend my time reading it. Get to the fucking point. You know what I'm saying? Just write a paragraph, summarize it, and get to the point. But guys don't listen. They don't care. They just, it's really important. I hope you don't mind that this is so long. It got a little bit longer than I thought. A little bit longer because it's 3 fucking pages, buddy. You know, what am I supposed to do with this? Now I got to summarize it for you? It's like, then this is why, it's like, listen, the only thing that makes me happy when I'm spending my time on somebody else, unless I really want to help that person, which doesn't happen very often. I mean, there are some people that I'll help for nothing. But the only time is when people acknowledge that my time is valuable, and they do that with cash. Okay? And that's why people aren't calling me and getting consultations for free. That's why they pay me. And that's why it's okay if they pay me. I don't mind. Because there is acknowledgement given. My time is valuable. And, really, my time is more valuable than what I get paid. And that may sound a bit arrogant, but it's the truth. Because, I'm just the kind of person that, my buddy told me something. And he knows who he is if he's listening. He said something like, what you're involved in is the arts. And you are into the arts. You like money, but the money is not the first priority. You want to do what you want to do when you do it, how you want to do it, without any interference. And I'm like, well, that's it. I want to make videos, and if my video is entertaining as opposed to being helpful, that's okay. If my video is helpful and entertaining, that's okay. If it's just helpful, that's okay. It's my video, you see. And if I write, I know that there are things that I've written that are, that some might consider far too rude to be put down on paper. You know, and that's okay, because I don't give a shit, because I write what I want to write, you see. So this is kind of how I feel. I'm not necessarily motivated by money. I'm motivated by being able to do what I want. And one thing that I am interested in doing more of and spending more time is eventually not doing any more YouTube videos, or doing one a month or something, a little 3-minute or 5-minute video once a month. I'll do the members' videos as long as the membership goes on. That's fine. I can do one or two a week, and that's easy for me. But when you add in the YouTube, it makes it more difficult. It makes it more time-consuming. But the one thing I want to do is I want to take more photographs. I want to go more places to photograph. This is what I like to do with my life. And then along the way, I accumulate experiences, and those turn into stories, and then what that means is that I have fodder, per se, for books. But the main thing for me is photography. Yesterday I went and looked at the Nikon F3 in pristine condition, 24,000 baht. The guy said he'd negotiate with me a little bit, which means that I can probably get it for about 650 bucks. And I want to get two new lenses, manual lenses. The F3 is completely manual. It's not autofocus. I think it's like a, I want to get like a 28 and a maybe a 135 or a 105 lens. And those two lenses, along with the 50 millimeter that I have, and these are film cameras, these are used on film cameras, so when I say 50 millimeters, it's 50 millimeters. When I say 28, it's 28. It's not, you know, like it is with a digital camera. You know, this is something I'm working for, and the more money that is generated from my book, and in the future books, and from my photographs, then the easier it is for me to travel. And it's okay for me to travel, say, once every 2 or 3 months. I mean, if I travel somewhere like Nepal every 3 months for 2 weeks, that's fine with me. That's enough. And then during the interim, I can work on my photos, I can do what I need to do, and also photograph Thailand, which is important, because I want to make sure that I get the faces and the people of Thailand. I guess I just want to note the different types of people, the different skin colors, the different facial expressions, the different faces from each region, the different jobs that they work. I've been inside my head for a while, since I was in Nepal. And Nepal is a great place, and I really enjoy it. And I'm wondering if I should go to Tibet. This is something I'm planning. And then there's also someone I know that's going to Mongolia. He asked if I wanted to go. And I do want to go, but I just don't know if the timing is right, if I want to go when he's going. So I need to think about it a little bit. But, you know, when I went into the camera shop yesterday and started looking at this Nikon F3, if you don't know what it is, it's a professional level film camera that was made, I think it's about 40 years ago. And it's one of the most popular Nikon cameras ever made. Very, very durable. It's weather sealed. It's fairly small and light, but it's very, very durable, and it's simple, and it takes great photographs, as long as you're a great photographer. So I'm I'm thinking this is the one. I've been thinking about a Voigtlander or a Leica. A Leica, I just don't think I can afford it at this point. The Voigtlander, the reason I don't really want to buy it is because I don't want to have to deal with it breaking down all the time, which is why I don't buy like a Contax or a Konica, because they're hard to get fixed now, or they're more difficult than, say, like a Nikon. I can get that fixed. I can get spare parts for it all the time. So, you know, this is something to think about. Where am I right now? I am right by Our Lady of Fatima Catholic Church. I'm just about to Pajino Tin Road. And, like I said, I'm going to Fuji. I've been there before. And they are really good. You know, I had a problem with my lens once before. They fixed it. Didn't cost me a dime. Didn't cost me once a time. Oh, I'm on Pajino Tin right now. And then they clean your camera and your lens. If you purchase your camera inside Thailand, they clean it, and it costs you $107, which is $100 plus the 7 baht or something for VAT, which is fantastic. I mean, you know, you can't beat that. So I'm looking forward to getting this done because I have a little bit of a problem inside my camera. But, you know, I'm getting back to the main point of this podcast, it's just, you know, I think that some people, if I could recommend something for people coming here, understand that there will be, you know, this is just like life. This is, you know, living in Thailand is it's life in general. There are ups, there are downs. There are times when you're extremely happy. There are times that are frustrating. Fortunately for me, most of the frustration periods of time here have been eliminated, or if I am frustrated about anything, it's for a very, very short period of time, and I get it worked out pretty quickly. Holy shit, look at the size of this guy. Jesus, fucking monster. Some foreigner is walking down the street here. He must live in the back in one of the apartments. He's absolutely massive. Guy probably weighed about 325, about 6 foot, 325. He's probably as wide as I am tall. But you know, like I was going to say, is if you plan on living here for a long time and you're not at retirement age, if you're at retirement age, you've probably already reached an age where you're not going to change a whole lot more, but Thailand will change you. Living here will change you. How much you'll change from, say, 55 to 75, I don't know, because I'm not at that point yet. But I do know that from 33 to 53, I've changed so much, dramatically. I mean, I'm just waiting to see what the next 10 years will bring. Am I going to be here? Am I going to be here full time? Am I going to be doing something other than what I'm doing now? Am I going to get a couple of photo books done? Are they going to sell? There's a lot ahead of me that I think about all this stuff. But if you're moving to Thailand, you ought to take into consideration that, you know, the joy you feel when you first come will eventually taper off. And it's nice to live here. I appreciate it. I appreciate the fact that it's fairly safe. As long as you keep your nose out of trouble and you don't talk a bunch of shit. It's a fairly safe place to live. You don't have to worry too much. You can live inexpensively if you choose, and you know, if you want, you can have a pretty good life here. And then, you know, like what I say, which is, you know, there's ups and downs. There are great things about being here, and there are some things that they can be frustrating or irritating sometimes. But you know, all in all, I'm riding down the street right now, and I'm looking, and aside from the occasional flag that's put up, I guess this is an apartment complex, aside from the flags that are showing and the Thai script on the bus that just went by, to me this could be anywhere. I mean, I could be in you know, New York City. It could be downtown LA. I mean, it's not like every place you look is so different. It's not like there are temples and little street stalls everywhere. It's, you know, it's not how it is. Right now I'm on the Wipari Rangsit Road, which is close to Pahanyutin. I guess I was wrong before. I wasn't on that street yet, but just about there now. And I'm going down the road here, and this could be anywhere. Now, I mean, I'm seeing something here. I'm passing up a big, I don't know what you call this thing, but it's a big thing with the picture of the king on it. Obviously, that's not going to show up in the United States. Maybe you have a picture of the president. All these office buildings and everything else, they look pretty much just like anywhere else. So once you get past the look of the place and you start to say, you know, the more I look at this place, the more it kind of looks in some places just like back in the U.S. or in parts of Europe or whatever. Once you can say that to yourself and you go, well, you know, that building's not that much different, then you can start to focus on the inner workings of the country and in the mechanics of getting things done. You know, you want to ride somewhere, maybe jump on a motorbike. Well, I never took a motorbike taxi in the United States, so obviously that's different. But aside from a few things like this, like for me, I've pretty much completely forgotten what it's like to live in the United States. And this is what I've been thinking. And, I plan on going home in about 5 months, in April, end of April. And I'm kind of looking forward to it, just to see how things have changed. And then also, one reason I'm looking forward to it is because I know that once I go there, or at least I'm pretty sure once I get there, after a couple of weeks, I'll be like, whew, you know, there's a lot of great things about Thailand. I'll start to recognize those again. So it's definitely, now we're going down some little side street. I don't remember how to get to this place. I remember the building where this Fuji is, but that's about all. I don't remember. I do remember going this back road. I think this is, we're in the same area as somewhere else that I have been. You know, I mean, even the apartment complexes, a lot of them look different. But, you know, and then you go down a street and there's nothing but street stalls. So, you know, once you've been here for a while and you kind of, you overlook some of the things, you know, like the motorcycles driving down the street, the little 100cc motorbikes or 110cc motorbikes. Once you overlook, you know, 50 of them sitting in a red light, it's just like living anywhere else. And if you have got yourself a good woman and you're being faithful to her, and you're not running around with a bunch of different women, then, you know, Thailand is even more similar to living elsewhere, for at least for me, than anyone could imagine. So, you know, when you come here, I think that for most of my friends, they've been here so long that we just take everything for granted. And I think that's what happens is you just take things for granted. I mean, you know, I just drove by a guy selling pineapples, selling fruit. Here's another guy pushing a cart down the street with cantaloupe and watermelon and papaya and pineapple. You don't have this stuff in the United States, at least most of the places that I've ever lived. I've never seen any of that. But then here we are again. We're in a little neighborhood. This neighborhood looks just like any other neighborhood like in the United States. Got a Mercedes dealer with they sell Mercedes and BMWs. So anyway, I think you got my point. And I'm almost to the building. It's the SP building. where Fuji is on the 8th floor. We're almost there. So I'm going to cut it short and say that until next time, I'm Scott. I'm an American in Bangkok. Hey, if you haven't bought my book, check it out for me. Leave a review if you will. Let me know what you think of it. I know that some parts might not be for everybody, but there might be some stuff that really makes you laugh. I mean, you know, I even now I read it, I go back and read it, and I can't believe some of the stuff I wrote because I laugh at it. I constantly laugh at the same things. So if I'm doing that, and then the people that I've let review it and read it prior to printing it and having it finished, if they are laughing at the same place, then it must be funny, at least in some areas. So please give it a look. I'll have a link below the audio player, and it's real easy. You can just go to Amazon, and in the search button, type in the words. They call me Farang, and my book will come up. It should come up first. So. That's all I got. Until next time, I'm Scott. I'm an American in Bangkok. Chok di la chok an mai.